Hello, it's the Dick and Dom debate with Dick and Dom.
It's a bit like Question Time or Talk Radio, but for you, the Dick and Dom generation.
Each week, we won't debate anything political, no, nothing hard-hitting, just the unimportant stuff in life that really matters. Welcome to the Dick and Dom debate. Number one, new research has stated that fried breakfasts, or the fry-up, traditional fry-up, have to be socially distant, meaning no more than three items on your plate. What would those items be and why?
It is a very important debating topic, and we need some very important guests to help us get to the bottom of all of this. So please welcome the nation's second favourite double act, behind Anton Deck. We're actually number five, just behind. We're behind Dion Dublin and Martin Roberts from Homes Under the Hammer. From Radio 1, please welcome Ricky and Melvin.
Easy. All right, boys. How you
brilliant
doing?
Brilliant intro. Doing really well. How are you two?
We're absolutely fine. We're getting a little bit concerned about this social distant breakfast situation, and we need your help with it. Are you guys particular fans of the cooked breakfast, or the fry-up as it's commonly known?
Yeah, I love the fry-up. I already disagree with this comment because I feel like you need more than like three things. You need about four or five things on your plate for it to be a fry-up, no?
I know, but unfortunately, times have changed recently, and we have to go with government advice because it's unsafe.
It's going to be a socially distanced breakfast, three items only. Ricky, what would they be?
Oh, man. All right, so you have to have eggs on your plate. I'm a big fan of eggs, whether they are scrambled, whether they are fried, boiled, poached as well, at a push, poached as well. I think if I was going to go for a fry-up, obviously it has to be the fried eggs. I would also go for some fried mushrooms. I'm going to throw a curveball in there.
Nice. Okay,
some fried mushrooms in there, maybe like with a little bit of garlic sprinkled in there as well.
This is a posh breakfast.
and to keep it working class, I'm going to go for some beans. Good old beans on the side as well. So
okay, so when you talk about the mushrooms and you fried it with garlic, are we talking shiitake mushrooms? Are we talking about the field cut mushrooms? You know, the large mushrooms that you see?
Or are we just going for a button mushroom?
I am not that refined. Any mushroom would do.
Ricky was just thinking Tesco, like, he doesn't know all the variations.
Tinned mushrooms.
Okay, I'm with you on eggs. Eggs are a really nice thing, but something really puts me off eggs in the fact that they are ultimately a chicken's period. Right? And also the fact that a poached egg, and I cannot get it out of my mind, looks like a shriveled testicle that's been in the bath for too long.
You've ruined eggs for me, you know that.
So what about you, Melv? Where are you at with the breakfast?
I'm quite standard, so I can only have scrambled eggs. Because if I have anything runny, it makes me feel sick. Remember like years ago when I think it was Edwina Curry was going on about salmonella poisoning. Mm. So I was like, I can't have anything that's runny. So I have to overcook my eggs, Ricky will tell you, and it can only be scrambled. Mm. I'm not about that poached life. I'm not about dipping anything into my egg. It has to be well cooked.
So we got eggs in there. Okay, same as Ricky. So we got eggs. What else?
So eggs and then brown toast and then beans. That's it.
This is good because I've got this thing about eggs as well. When you eat eggs, it's impossible to eat like a fried egg without pushing it against something. So it's got to have like a piece of toast or a hash brown or a waffle. I don't know anybody that can cut off a piece of egg white, put it in their mouth and swallow it. Can you
know what? I actually can. I'm probably one of the 1% of the country that can have that slimy bit of like white bit of the egg.
I'm with you, Ricky. I'm with you.
Down in one.
What a talent. but it's that thing, you know, where when you have a boiled egg, and I very rarely have boiled eggs, but when I do, right, and you dip in and you just eat the yolk, yum, 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 but then you're left with like ultimately the jellified birth sac inside the shell. Can you take a teaspoon out and eat that?
No.
Dom, you're not selling eggs here, are you? Really?
What is it? You've got something against eggs, don't you, Dom?
Yeah.
Oh, force-fed them at boarding school.
All right, okay. That's it.
Now, here, Dom, what are yours? Because mine are a sausage. You've got to have one piece of meat, I reckon. Well, you can't because you're vegetarian. But sausage, egg, beans. Simple as that.
Sausage, egg. But yeah, but beans. You've got nothing to push your egg against. You've got nothing, you've got no toast to push your
no
egg
toast.
Against.
Well, yeah, you do
but
need
you,
toast.
You can dip your sausage into your egg.
I don't know. It's, to be honest, we opened this up to social media. The response was actually one of the highest feedback for any social media we've ever put out there. We had celebrities, we had concerned celebrities contacting us, didn't we, Rich?
We did. We had Tim Lovejoy. He said his is bacon, egg and sausage because he's a man of the people.
Yeah. We also had the legend that is Mr. Paul Chuckle off of the Chuckle Brothers who got in contact,
nice.
Concerned, saying egg, bacon, wait for it. And chips.
Ah, well, chips.
Chips. Mm. No, not for breakfast.
I thought about throwing chips in there. I did think about throwing some chips in there. I did think about it, but I thought, you know what?
Can chips be an item on a fry-up?
Yes.
No, definitely not.
Okay, so in the old days of Greasy Spoons, so when me and Rich lived together many years ago, this is like early 2000, late 1998, we used to go for a massive night out or have a house party, then go to our local Greasy Spoon across the road. And they'll give you chips with your breakfast as well. And I've got to say,
yes.
It was the finest food you could ever eat. They would always give you chips.
I think if you can find any establishment that does a fry-up and they give you chips with the fry-up, you've struck gold. It's the jackpot.
Yeah.
It's the jackpot.
Also, if you say no to chips, you're being a bit elitist to shapes. To shapes. Because, yeah, well, if you think about it, you can get waffles, which are potato-based in a shape. Yeah. You can get hash browns, potato-based. You can get all those kind of things, but chips are just the same. Right?
I agree, Don, but I'm saying if you have to pick between three items, then you can't put chips in there. It's impossible.
No, it's not an official breakfast item, is it? No, no. Although it's a good dipping thing, isn't it? It's good to dip.
Yeah. It's like picking avocados for your breakfast. You can have avocados for your breakfast, but you wouldn't pick it as your, you know, your vital item for breakfast.
Yeah. We've actually got a caller on the line. Nikki has waffles for her bit of crunch. Nikki, why waffles?
Why not? I mean, they're amazing. Potatoes in a holy shape.
What's the difference between a waffle and 10 chips in the shape of a waffle?
You can't stick the beans in the holes, is it?
Ah, yes.
Very good.
She's got you there. You can't do that. She's got you. Got you.
All right, so I presume, Nikki, you're talking, what are you going for? Your three items, you're going for waffle, beans and what else?
Veggie sausages.
Veggie!
Nikki, thanks for your call. We've got loads of callers, so we've got to move on. We've got another Richard, another Dickie. So Richard, what are your three items?
My three items were fried egg, sausage and a dictionary.
a
dictionary, you say?
Okay. You might have to elaborate a little bit more on this one.
I think when I saw the tweet about this yesterday, you spelled aloud A-L-O-U-D rather than A-L-L-O-W-E-D.
We walked into this one.
So anyway, let's just clarify that one as well. So can I just say that was actually Richard McCourt off Dick and Dom who wrote the original tweet. Rich, you're usually good at spelling.
I know, A-L-O-U-D, yeah, sorry.
I'm the dyslexic one, I'm supposed to get all that wrong.
Well, thank you for spotting that, Mr. Morris. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
On to the next caller, Lord Lethrith, are you there?
I am, yep.
You're talking to Dick and Dom, and also our guest panellists, Ricky and Melvin. Say hello.
Hello, Lord.
Hiya.
Hello, Lord. Lord, what's your actual name?
It's Lee.
Lee, brilliant. All right, would you like to explain to Ricky and Melvin what three items you would have socially distanced on your breakfast plate?
It would be eggs, bacon and chips.
Okay. Eggs, bacon,
and chips as well. He's gone for the chips. And what kind of egg would you go for, Lee?
Semi-runny.
So semi-runny.
My mother always taught me to tilt the pan and just scoop some of the oil with a teaspoon over the top. Do you do that?
Oh, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to have to stop you there because I can't actually believe that we're talking about how to spoon hot fat on top of an egg. I'm going to have to get rid of you. See you, Lord.
Bye,
thanks,
Lord.
Right, so Twitter poll time. Which three items on a fry-up? Melvin, which one are you going for?
Still the toast, the beans and the scrambled eggs, please.
Which one out of them for the poll, though, do you reckon? Favourite.
Eggs, what? Eggs.
Okay. Ricky?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the eggs as well, but fried eggs.
Fried eggs. What was yours? Scrambled?
Yeah,
Melvin?
Scrambled for me, please.
Yeah.
It's like I'm making an order.
I've put sausages mine. Dom, what are you going for?
Without doubt, a hash brown, just a bog standard chunky hash brown. I'm going to go for, let's say, barbecue beans and a Moving Mountains sausage, which is a veggie sausage, but they're incredible. So that's it.
But which one for the poll? You only need one of those.
What?
One of those for the poll.
Just the one, Dom. Just the one, Dom.
You just need one for the poll, though, Dom.
Oh.
That's thrown you, isn't it?
I thought we had a Moving Mountains. No, hash brown.
Yeah, I've got envy over the hash brown. I think I should have put hash brown in my three as well.
I think we're allowed condiments, all right? So I'm just going to get loads of ketchup. It's got to be ketchup with hash browns.
Agreed.
Hold on, I just thought, you're right, Dom. It does need to be our four options, but three in each choice, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, why would we only be listing one thing in each?
Yeah, so let's go back round.
Why have you done that? Why Melv, did you do that?
Melv, what's yours again?
Scrambled eggs, toast and beans for me, please, Rich.
It's like literally like two, it's like an old people's home.
Ricky
Melv would have done this. They would have done it as they were talking on air, live at Radio 1. And you're Ricky. There with one finger typing it in. And my internet's crashing.
Right, Ricky, what's yours?
So mine was fried eggs. I'm going to go for, mushrooms.
Oh, your mushrooms.
And baked beans as well. Got to have some baked beans.
Beans. Right, Dom?
Okay, so I'm going for... Not this again. We've already talked about this. Okay. So I'm going to go for Moving Mountains veggie sausage.
I can't fit Moving Mountains in.
Okay, just put sausage.
Veg sausage, beans.
And hash brown.
All I can fit is hash.
That's one then.
Yeah. What a breakfast.
Can I change mine, please?
Hash B. I'll put hash B. And mine is sausage. Right, we're nearly there. Sorry, chaps. Egg and beans.
I feel like I've won this, you know.
15 minutes. It's going out. Hold on. Minutes. 00. Tweet. Right, we'll come back to that later. So that ends that debate. Let's move on to debate number two. Education specialists are thinking of scrapping work experience as it doesn't help with your future job. What do we think?
Yes. Does work experience have any connection to what you end up doing, basically? Boys,
that is a great question.
What did you do? Ricky, first of all, let's go for you because your name starts first out of Ricky and Melvin. So what did you do as work experience?
So when I did work experience at school, I wanted to get into the media industry. I wanted to be like in radio and in TV, but there was nothing available. The closest thing that they had available on the list was working for a magazine, but it was a taxation magazine. So I ended up working a week at some dead taxation magazine. It was the most boring week of my life. And all they got me to do was photocopy it the whole time. Just photocopy. So yes, I did photocopy my backside at some point.
It's actually it's a good read. Actually,
but I've got to say, as time went on, after like university and stuff, I did a lot of work experience. I did work experience at CBBC. I did work experience.
Wait, you didn't? Yeah. What? When we were there?
Yeah, when you guys were there. But I did work experience. Do you remember the show Short Change?
Yeah.
I did work experience as like a as a researcher on that.
No.
And realized that I didn't want to be a researcher. Really quickly, but the show was really, really good.
That was quite highbrow. It was like Watchdog, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I think Rodri was one of the and Angelica
and Otis
and Otis as well. That's right. Yeah. Really good show.
What about you, Melv?
You know what? I think work experience is worthwhile whether it works or whether it doesn't work, because it teaches you what you don't want to do, even if you're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
What did you do?
I worked in an estate agent in North London, and I sat next to this woman who would smoke for the whole day. It was like the times of where you could actually smoke indoors. Yeah. So I realized then that I never wanted to work in an office, like doing a 9-to-5. But then on the flip side, when I left uni, Ricky got me a job at One Extra, and that was my first kind of like work experience, kind of like radio job.
Of course.
Wait, just explain something a bit more. What do you mean Ricky got you a job? Did you guys know each other from uni?
Yeah, so we met at university. Ricky was already working at One Extra, and he was like, Melvin, come along and work with One Extra and see how, you know, how you feel about things. And that helped me get my job as a broadcast assistant. And technically speaking, you guys got me my first TV job. Because I was working for free for you guys when I first started.
Yeah.
So the first ever time. Yeah, that was free. For the first few like months when I'd come on and dress up in those crazy characters, it was free of charge. So our producer, Steve Ride, was like, I'm not going to pay you, but we'll pick you up and there's free breakfast. How do you feel about doing these characters? Yeah, that's how I started. My first ever TV job was with you guys.
Oh my God. I can remember, for those listening, Melvin's first character on Dick and Dom in the Bungalow was a ghost. You didn't even see you didn't even see his face. He had to put a big sheet over him and go into town and say boo to people.
And it's history repeating itself today as we're not paying Melvin anything again.
In fact, we got a running joke because we like to think that Melvin owes his whole career to us. Is that
he does. Subsequently,
we rope him into all manner of stuff that we're doing for free. He's been on every pilot, everything.
We're obviously paying Ricky, just not Melvin.
It's so true.
Well, what about the listeners to Dick and Dom's debate podcast? What do they think, Rich?
Well, Kirsten's on the line. She's got a classic story about children's TV, actually. Hi, Kirsten.
Hello.
Good to speak to you. So where did you work?
I worked at Nickelodeon.
So what did your work experience entail?
So I went down there, I went for a week, and I had to do things like, they started me off quite easy. So I started off with doing things like, I fixed a SpongeBob SquarePants, like little thing that they were using for a game. Vital, that involved a lot of papier-mâché and ping pong balls, that kind of thing. I graduated on to buying some Christmas lights. And by the end of the week, they got me making gunge, which was...
And what particular use was the gunge?
So the gunge was to gunge Emma Watson and Rupert Grint. I think they were
No way.
That's a measure. The gunge that you made got put over Emma Watson's head.
I feel so bad for them as well, because it was awful stuff. It was so horrible.
Celebrity gunge. Go on then, what's the ingredients of gunge? Can you remember?
I'm not sure I can tell you.
Of course you can.
What do you mean you don't mean you can tell us? We're bloody the masters of gunge. We know everything about it. I'll tell you a little secret. We didn't even use gunge per se. We just used buckets and buckets of custard. Yeah. So that's all we used.
And baked beans.
We didn't need to mix anything.
Okay, look, so we had two massive buckets of things. Yeah. And I had to go out and buy the stuff for it. So actually it was applesauce from Waitrose.
Right.
That's what I used. And I know. And which obviously gave it the lovely lumpy texture. And and a lot of green poster paint. Really, really awful stuff.
Do you know, can I tell you something as well? That we used to stand behind the scenes when we appeared on Dave Benson Phillips' Get Your Own Back, and we watched them making their gunge there. They used to thicken it with MSG, monosodium glutamate.
Oh.
So you did work experience, you made gunge, threw it on Emma Watson's head. What job do you do now?
I am a graphic designer.
Yay! Great. Yeah. Thank you very much for your call. Moving over to the social media room now. We've got Blueprint Jim, who says that he used to work in a Jaffa Cake factory, injecting the orange jelly into Jaffa Cakes, and that he now works as a senior props master for Hollywood movies.
Oh, wow. Good work experience then. Yeah. That worked out. Where did you do your work experience, Dom? I can't remember.
I used to work in the joke shop in Exeter. And so, because I was a magician back then, so not so far removed, selling magic tricks and then entering the world of magic and clown.
I can imagine you there, actually, Dom.
Really? Hustling,
Hustling hard.
There were people that I used to drag off the street that didn't want a hand buzzer.
Right, we've got Lorna on the phone now. Lorna, are you there?
Hello.
All right, Lorna. Now, when you tweeted us yesterday, you said you did your work experience in an office with three women called Marion. What's that all about?
Okay, well, when I was 15, we had to do work experience. I really wanted to work in a hospital, but all the spaces were taken. So I thought I'd do the next best thing and work in a medical centre in an office. But yeah, all three women were called Marion, and they were all incredibly boring, and I hated it. And I only ever did 2 days out of the intended five.
Wow.
Did you have to all call them Marion, or was there like Marion 1, Marion 2, Marion 3?
I can't even remember speaking to them much. I was so moody. I hated it.
So you just hate anyone called Marion?
No, I don't really meet many people called Marion, actually, these days, fortunately. Maybe I just avoid them. I don't know.
Lorna, did you just, like, not go back, or did you tell them you weren't going to go in?
I did 2 days, and I was like, no, and I just told them I was ill.
Yeah.
So you did that. Where do you work now?
I'm an author now, and I make films, so...
You're an author?
Amazing.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you author?
Well, I've had my children's book published, and I've got two more coming out as well early this year and next year. And I'm writing a film as well. We just made a film, which came out yesterday on YouTube.
Well, listen, if you need a hilarious double act, then Ricky and Melvin are available. we're far too busy. Thanks for your call.
Cheers, Lorna.
Well, thanks, Lorna.
Obviously, working with the Marians worked out for her. Yeah, nice.
Definitely. So we've got Dean Marsh on social media says, cleaned pigeon poo off the roof at an old Pronta print. Do you remember Pronta print?
Yeah,
while I was there learning to print and design, I became a graphic designer. So swings and roundabouts.
Wow.
How about that?
Well done.
So what do we think then, boys? Work experience, is it worth it?
I think it is worth it because obviously you might not end up doing, you know, what you did your work experience in, but it's work experience. You get an experience of the work life, and that's invaluable, surely.
Yeah, unless you can learn what you don't want to do in life, which is
exactly.
Also quite an important thing. Right, what about you, Melv?
Yeah, I'm with Rix on that one. Even if you end up doing something that you don't really want to do, it teaches you that you don't want to do that job, and it kind of helps you work out where you do want to be in life.
I think the unanimous decision is that nobody knows or cares what we should do about work experience. So without any further ado, let's move on to the final part of the Dick and Dom debate.
Yeah, and the final part today, we're going to bring in some of your issues, your unimportant issues. We're going to debate them. So we've got some callers. Let's start with Josh.
Oh, nice one.
Josh, welcome to the Dick and Dom debate. We're here with Ricky and Melvin to help work out a solution to some of your life problems. What's the issue?
So I'm just starting uni at the moment, and
yes.
I'm trying to figure out what to do in this sort of pandemic.
Right. Well, in general.
Yeah, what sort of like fun things could I do?
Oh, to be honest, nothing really. There's nothing you can do that's any fun at all. What?
I just want to say, Tom, you are absolute legend. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, that's very kind of you to say so, and it's making us feel slightly uncomfortable. Thank you very much for the call. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you very much.
Bye, mate.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Mickey Collins Jr. has just tweeted saying, what is the correct way to eat a cheese and ham sandwich? Is it cheese on top of the ham or ham on top of the cheese? Because then you'd have to call it a different sandwich.
Cheese and ham.
Is it cheese and ham or then ham and cheese sandwich?
Oh, that's a very good question. But for me, the ham has got to go on the bottom. It's got to be like, it's got to be the bottom layer, surely, that you attack.
Why though?
Because it's more, it's like laying a bit of carpet down. You put the carpet before you put the furniture in. That's right.
Yes, Rick. Yes, Rick. Oh, exactly.
That's You're the right, best bro. Analogy.
That's great. Very funny.
He's right.
He is right.
That's it makes 100%. Total sense.
That's going in my quotes book. That is the one. That's the best.
Well, then, moving on to another caller then, to who needs our help.
So that's done then.
Yeah, no, it really is.
So, Liam's on the line. He's got an issue with tea.
Hello.
How can we help with your tea issue?
So, yeah, I've got a problem where, you know, when you've got people offering to make you a cup of tea, you never know how they're going to make it because clearly putting the milk in first, not quite right.
Who's done this for you?
My girlfriend's mum is the main culprit.
So the future mother-in-law has been making you milky tea where the milk goes in first, yes?
Mm. Liam, get this sorted out ASAP, my friend. Yeah, get this sorted out.
Yes. So,
I think, yeah.
Get a prenup in place. Yeah.
Ricky, have you got another carpet analogy for milk or tea than milk?
I always hear this about tea drinkers. I don't drink tea, so I don't really know. I don't really get why you guys get so upset about what goes in first. Surely just bung it all in and drink it.
Gents, I've got the history about all of this, and we were told it by Steve Ride, our old producer from the bungalow.
Oh, Steve Ride, the legend.
So basically, he told me once that the reason why people used to put milk into a teacup first is because teacups used to be made from like a type of clay that if you put the hot water in before, it would crack. And so it was like the lesser well-off people used to have to put the milk in first and then the tea. So that's why when fine bone china came into existence, it was made of such a good material that you could put the boiling water in first, but the upper classes were the only people. So if you look at someone like Rich, for example, came from a working class background, so puts milk in first. I came from a real snobby family, so I put in the boiling water first.
I don't put the milk in first.
You do?
No, I don't.
You used to. No, hang on a minute. When we lived together, you always put the milk in first.
Well, I don't anymore. So I don't know how that's all. Anyway, producer Dave has won it with his quote from you, Ricky. He's taken your prenup and he's turned it into a teacup prenup.
Oh, nice. All right? Yes. Yes. Brilliant.
Great idea.
Brilliant.
There you go then, Liam. Is that sorted it for you?
That sounds perfect. Locker in the cupboard. Job done. Thank you very much.
Right, so that just about brings to the end of today's Dick and Dom debate. But we've had the poll back in for which three items on a fry-up. And in joint last place, it's Ricky and Melvin.
Oh, mate,
seriously.
I feel like I rushed it. I feel like I rushed it at the start. It was the first question you gave us. Yeah. I didn't think it through. I apologise, guys. I apologise.
Okay. In second place, with 21% of the vote, by the way, you two had 11% each there. With 21% of the vote is Dom.
Oh.
Hey. Wow.
So I win 57% sausage, egg and beans.
A classic. Well done, Rich.
Well done, Rich.
Just to prove how popular we are, the amount of votes that we had during that, this is incredible, the response we've had. 230 votes.
It's more than what we would have got, promise you.
Anyway, thank you very much to Ricky and Melvin off of Radio 1 and off the telly as well. Thanks very much for coming on. Join us next time for more Absolute Cobblers on the Dick and Dom Debate.